Okay, let's unpack this. We are doing a deep dive into the architecture of decentralized perpetual exchanges.
Right.
And our source material makes this an incredibly important claim.
Yeah.
It says your success, your risk profile, your entire strategy, really, it all hinges on understanding the platform's core architecture.
It absolutely does. It dictates everything. How prices are set, where the liquidity comes from, and most importantly, what risks you're actually taking on.
So for you listening, we're going to try and take all this confusing jargon, CLABOBS, Oracle pools, VAMMs, and turn it into something you can actually use.
That's the mission. We're going to dissect the three main models, look at their risks, and then match them directly to specific trading goals, whether you're a scalper or you're putting on a huge swing trade.
Okay, so we've got these three architectural pillars that define the whole market. Let's start with the one that's probably most familiar, Model 1, the CLEA, the Central Limit Order Book.
This is the classic. It's essentially trying to replicate a traditional exchange like the Nasdaq Q, but on chain.
So market makers are posting buy and sell orders.
Exactly. And the price discovery is internal. It's all about the supply and demand right there in that order book. A trade only happens when a buy order and a sell order cross.
Now, the sources mentioned two different ways of building these, two submodels. You've got app chains and then hybrid off-chain matching. Why the split?
It really comes down to a trade-off between speed and decentralization.
Okay.
An app chain, like what Hyperliquid or DYDXV4 use, is an entire blockchain dedicated just to trading. Hyperliquid, for example, is running on its own chain that's optimized for this.
And the speeds are pretty wild, right?
They are. We're talking about a capacity of around 200,000 orders a second, sub-second latency. You need that kind of custom environment to handle the sheer volume of a CEX-like order book.
Because every single click, every order change has to be processed almost instantly.
Right. And DYDXV4 takes a slightly different approach. The actual matching of orders happens off-chain, handled by a decentralized network of validators, which keeps it super fast.
But the settlement, the actual final record of the trade, that still happens on chain for security.
Precisely. So you get the speed of off-chain systems with the security of on-chain settlement.
So the benefit seems clear. You get limit orders, stop losses. It feels like a CEX. But the risks are the classic ones too, right? Slippage and front running.
I'm EV. That's the core trade-off. Slippage is a big one. If you try to place a large order and there isn't enough depth in the book, your price gets worse and worse as your order gets filled.
An MEV, how does that work here?
Well, because the transaction pool is public, a sophisticated bot can see your big market buy order before it's confirmed.
Oh, wow.
So the bot can jump in, place its own buy order a millisecond before yours, push the price up, and then sell to you at that slightly higher price. They basically skim profit from your trade.
The system's transparency becomes a vulnerability.
In that context, yes.
Okay, so if the CLOB is about replicating old school finance with its known risks, Model 2, the Oracle pool, feels like a complete departure.
It is.
And this is where it gets really interesting for me. The counterparty isn't another trader anymore, it's the pool itself.
Precisely. This model, which GMXV2 is famous for, it just gets rid of the order book entirely.
So you're trading against a big pool of money that liquidity providers or LPs have
So you're
deposited.
trading against the house, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what makes that possible is that the price isn't set internally. It's fed in from the outside.
That's the critical piece. Prices come from external oracles like Chainlink or Pith. And this leads to the model's defining feature: zero price impact.
Meaning my huge trade doesn't move the price at all.
Right. Up to the capacity of the pool, your $100,000 trade executes at the exact same oracle price as a $100 trade. No slippage.
Which makes it feel more like a simple swap.
It does. And for LPs, it's very capital efficient because their money can be used across tons of different markets at once.
But wait a minute, that zero slippage, that just sounds like the risk is being moved somewhere else.
It is.
If traders are winning, the LPs have to be losing. Why would anyone provide liquidity if a bunch of smart traders could just drain their funds?
And that is the double-edged sword of this model. You've hit on the core risk. It comes down to two things. First, the technical one: oracle latency.
The price feed is slow.
Exactly. If the real market price for ETH is, say, $2,501, but the Oracle feed is still showing $2,500.
An arbitrage bot sees that instantly.
Instantly. It buys from the pool at the stale lower price and makes an immediate profit. And that profit is paid directly from the LP's pockets. We call that toxic flow.
So these small paper cuts from toxic flow can lead to a much bigger problem.
They lead to the second, more existential risk: pool insolvency. If traders, either through skill or by exploiting latency, consistently win more than they lose, the pool can actually drain.
So how do these protocols stop that from happening?
They have to manage risk very actively. They use things like dynamic funding rates. If too many people are shorting an asset, they'll crank up the cost to hold that short position to incentivize people to close it.
Okay, so it's a constant balancing act. The zero slippage benefit for you as a trader comes with this huge trust assumption in the protocol's risk management.
Correct. Which brings us to Model 3, the algorithmic engine, the virtual AMM, or VAMM.
This is where we get that famous formula, X times Y equals K, but for leverage.
Right. We're applying the constant product formula that Uniswap made famous, but for perpetuals.
But if the pool is virtual, if no real assets are actually being swapped, how does it all work? Where's the money?
Great question. The real collateral, your margin, is held in a completely separate smart contract vault.
Okay.
It's safe. The X and Y in the formula just represent virtual amounts of the assets.
I see.
So when you trade, the system is just using the math to calculate a price based on how your trade size changes the ratio of those virtual reserves. It's all algorithmic.
And that has to be why slippage is such a major factor here. A big trade would dramatically change that ratio.
Absolutely. The price discovery is purely internal to that algorithm. A large trade will push the price way up or down the curve, so you get high slippage. And there's another bigger risk.
Wow.
The price inside the VAM can just drift away from the real spot market price over time. It's inherently unstable.
So what pulls it back? How does it stay connected to reality?
It's completely dependent on active arbitragers. They're the ones who are incentivized to close that gap. If the VAM price is too high, they'll short it on the VAM and buy on the spot market, bringing the prices back into alignment.
So if the arbitragers don't show up for some reason, the VAM price can become totally unreliable.
That risk is called price divergence, and it's a critical vulnerability of the pure VAM model.
Okay, so we've covered the mechanics of all three. This is great. But what does this all mean for the person actually placing a trade? Let's get practical and match the architecture to the strategy.
This is where it becomes actionable. If you look at the data from our sources, it's clear. If you are an active day trader, a scalper, someone who needs very precise entry and exit points with limit orders.
You're going with the CLO.
You have to. You accept the risk of a little slippage on a huge order in exchange for that fine-grained control over many small trades.
And on the other hand, if you're a whale, someone moving 100 grand or more at a time.
Then the Oracle pool is almost always superior. Or if your strategy is based on funding rate arbitrage.
Why is it so good for arbitrage?
Because arbitrage profits are often razor thin. We're talking basis points. If you lose even a tiny fraction to slippage, your entire profit is gone. An Oracle pool guarantees you execute at the exact price you see. It preserves that margin.
Let's run a scenario. I want to buy $100,000 of ETH perpetuals.
Okay.
On a CLO like Hyperliquid, what happens?
Well, you'll look at the order book. Maybe there's only $40,000 worth of offers at the best price.
So the rest of my order, the other $60,000, starts eating into worse and worse prices.
Exactly. It walks down the book. You might end up paying a couple hundred dollars just in slippage. You can try to mitigate it with limit orders, but that adds complexity and time.
Now, same trade on an Oracle pool like GMX.
Assuming the pool has enough liquidity, which it usually does, we're talking tens of millions, your entire $100,000 order executes instantly at the Oracle price. Zero slippage.
The execution risk is gone for me, but it's now borne by the LPs.
That's the trade-off.
Okay, let's do a beginner's corner scenario. I'm new. I've got $5,000 in capital. I'm trying to do some swing trading. My number one priority is safety and simplicity.
Option A is an Oracle pool. Option B is a CLO.
For someone prioritizing simplicity, the Oracle pool has to win, right? It's just a swap interface. You don't need to understand order book depth or limit order types or MEV.
I would agree. The operational simplicity is a huge advantage. You click a button, you know the price you're getting, it reduces the chance for execution error.
But you're still taking on that background risk, that latent risk of the pool itself.
You are. But for a $5,000 trade, the immediate tangible challenge of managing slippage on a CLOB is probably a bigger hurdle for a beginner than the more abstract risk of pool insolvency.
That makes sense. Now, this space moves so fast, protocols are realizing these pure models have pretty big drawbacks.
Yeah, we have to talk about the state of the art, which is hybrid architectures.
They're trying to blend these models to get the best of all worlds.
Exactly. We're seeing a trend towards what some sources call a liquidity trifecta, and Drift Protocol is a great example. They layer three different mechanisms to protect their LPs.
Okay, let's break down those layers. First up is a JIT auction.
JIT stands for just in time. So when you submit a trade, it doesn't just hit the main pool, it first goes into a very short auction.
And who's in that auction?
Professional market makers. They compete to fill your order. The key is they are forced to be the first line of defense. They have to deal with any potentially toxic flow before it ever gets to the main LPs.
So the pros absorb the initial risk. Smart. What if they don't fill it?
Then it moves to the second layer. The DLOB, a decentralized limit order book. This gives you the precision of a CLOB.
And if it still doesn't get filled there,
then and only then does it fall back to the third layer, which is the DAM, a dynamic AMM.
The ultimate backstop.
It's the liquidity of last resort. It guarantees a trade can always happen. This layered system is so much better than a simple AMM because it protects the passive LPs from being constantly picked off by bots.
We're seeing evolution in the Oracle pool model, too. GMXV2 made a big change.
A huge one. They moved from their original single GLP pool to isolated GM pools.
What was the problem with one big pool?
Well, the old GLP pool had all the assets mixed together. So if there was some kind of catastrophic event in, say, a volatile altcoin market, it would drain value from the entire pool.
So even if you only wanted to provide liquidity for ETH, you were exposed to risk from every other asset.
Exactly. By isolating the pools, now there's a separate pool for ETH, one for BTC, and so on. The key benefit is risk isolation. A failure in one market doesn't contaminate the others.
That feels much safer for LPs, but I guess it's a bit less capital efficient for them.
It is. That's the trade-off. Yeah. They have to choose where to put their capital instead of just dumping it into one big bucket.
This has been a fantastic synthesis. Let's try and boil it down to the core takeaways that you, listening, should really hold on to.
I think the main roadmap is this. CLOB gives you precision and CEX-like speed, but you have to fight slippage and front-running. Oracle pools give you simplicity and zero slippage, but you are trusting the protocol's risk management and Oracle feeds.
And the hybrids, like Drift, are clearly showing where the future is headed, trying to blend that precision with the deep, stable liquidity of an AMM.
We saw earlier that for a beginner who wants safety and simplicity, The Oracle pool structure was probably the best fit.
But here's a final thought. What if market conditions change overnight, funding rates go crazy, and a massive high-yield arbitrage opportunity opens up on the VMM? As a trader, how quickly would you need to shift your choice of architecture away from that safe, simple pool to a more complex, aggressive engine to actually capture those profits? It just shows that this selection isn't a one-time thing. It has to be tactical.